One of the best ways to understand the heart of Jesus Christ is to look at the things he did in the last hours of his life, when he knew he was about to be crucified. We'll do that together today on The Balanced Word.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up, my hand. And the instrument I play. Wake up, my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here.
If you knew you only had a few hours to live, what would you do and say for those last precious moments? A lot of people would probably enjoy a big meal, travel, or spend time with family. When Jesus Christ knew that the time had come for him to be arrested and crucified, what did he do? Well, he took some time out to share a very important message about a choice each of us need to make. There are two different ways to respond to Jesus' offer of salvation. See where you're at today, and if a course correction is needed. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe on The Balanced Word in John chapter 12.
Verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, in a beautiful metaphor, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He said, I am going to have to go die like a grain of wheat. When you plant me, much more is going to happen. Much more fruit will come about because of my death. In the same way that when a seed dies, a lot more wheat ends up growing up. But then he says, he who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now it's getting of concern, because he is not only saying, I am going to go die right now. He is saying, and if you know what's good for you, if you have a real perspective, you need to follow me. Most of the people who would believe in him at this point would be actually giving their lives, because the fact is, when they killed Jesus, it didn't stop Christianity. It unleashed it. In fact, he was planted, and then when he rose from the dead, there were thousands of people. And then on the day of Pentecost, many thousands more. You can't kill it, but they'll still try. And so he's saying, I'm going to have to die, but I'm warning you, you'll have to as well. That's something that you need to do. That's where life comes from. It's why, and I talked about it on Wednesday night at Together, why the Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. It's that recognition. Like Lazarus, I've been dead already. I have a new life now, and you can't threaten me anymore with anything that's going to hurt me. I have life. Jesus is letting them know, this isn't going to be easy for you guys. This is not just going to be a parade with palm branches. We're talking about my life. We're talking about your life. And then he kind of shifts gears in verse 27 and says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Glorifying something means holding it up so that people can see what it truly is. When we are told to glorify God in everything that we do, the idea is, does what we do make God look good? Does it make him look better? Or does it just reflect on us? Are we doing him a favor? So Jesus prays this prayer, and the Father says from heaven, I will. Now, at this point, you would think, well, who's going to deny that? There's a voice from heaven saying he's going to glorify, answering the prayer of Jesus. But the people in verse 29 who stood by and heard it, some of them said, wow, that must have been thunder. I must have been hearing something. It was just thunder. Others said, no, it was probably an angel speaking to him. They totally missed the point when they heard it for themselves. They were still choosing to believe something other than the fact that this actually is the Messiah. And Jesus said, it didn't come because of me, but for your sakes. And then he says in verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And he was talking about his death. He goes, I'm going to die for all of you. And look what the people answered in verse 34. We've heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? They're like, can we talk about this theologically a little bit, Jesus? I think you're a little off because we know what the Bible says. And it says when Messiah comes, he will reign forever. So what are you talking about? This is weird. This doesn't fit our theological framework. Our systematic theology doesn't fit with what you're saying. They want to argue with him biblically and theologically. It's just, it's crazy the way they're looking at it. But Jesus said to them, a little while longer and the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Jesus spoke these things and then departed. He said, look, I know you don't get this. I know you don't understand it. But here's the thing. Right now, the light is with you. Either believe the light or be in darkness forever. This is your choice, darkness or light. You know, the truth of God or making up your own theology or something that you can live with that's much more comfortable than what I am declaring to you. And then he just walked off. But although he had done so many signs, verse 37, before them, they did not believe in him. They chose to reject him. Most of the people heard this. It's a blatant invitation. It's darkness and light. It's black and white. It's death and life. What are you going to do? No thanks. Most of them didn't believe in him. And it says that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Quote, and he's quoting Isaiah 53, verse 1. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah had already prophesied, as Jesus points out here, that most people wouldn't believe this story of the gospel. Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Now that sounds kind of weird. It starts, if you look at it on the surface, it sounds like they never had the opportunity. But he isn't saying that they never had the opportunity, because it was when they could see and when they could believe and they had that opportunity, at some point, God blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. How does that work? Well, we see a perfect example of it with the Pharaoh. When Moses is demanding that he let God's people go, it says the Pharaoh hardened his heart. Again, the Pharaoh hardened his heart. Again, the Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then it says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. See, what he's pointing out to them is there's a window of opportunity. At some point, you will reject the truth so much that God will remove his Holy Spirit from even convicting you anymore, and you will get to the point where now you can't choose any longer. You made your choice, but now God is going to do something to you when you're in that state where he goes, that's it. I'm done with you. And that should scare us, because there are a lot of people who are like, well, I'm just going to wait and see. I'm withholding judgment. I'll see what, you know, what I'm going to do and what I'm going to, but I guess there's no real rush, right? And Jesus is going, you better believe there's a rush. You don't know when that time is, but you think right now that you can weigh it in a balance. The day may come when you cannot even consider it anymore. God honors our choices to the extent that if we persistently choose to reject him, at some point he just goes, I'm going to stop bothering you. I'm going to quit bugging you. C.S. Lewis made the statement. He said, there are basically two kinds of people in the world. The people who say, God, you know, I not my will, but yours be done. And he said, the other people are those to whom God says, all right then, have it your way. And so Jesus is quoting Isaiah to say, you can get to the point where you no longer have a choice. You need to make your choice while you still can, because your heart can be hardened when the Holy Spirit just quits letting you know, quits convicting you. That's scary. So then, verse 42, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they didn't confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's kind of a weird sort of thing too. It's like they believed him, but they wouldn't confess him. They wouldn't admit that they were putting their trust in him. You remember over in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it talks about the fact that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the mouth you confess unto salvation, and with the heart you believe. So Paul there lays out, there's kind of two things. You need to believe, but you also need to confess. And he's not talking about an altar call or something like that. It's just about when you hear who he is, you have to decide, how much am I in? Am I all in? Or am I, is for me, my faith is just going to be something that's between me and God, and it really doesn't, not going to affect too much about the way I live my life. I'm not going to say I believe in him because I'm kind of afraid people are going to think I'm a nut. So I'm just going to be a secret believer. Seems like according to this, John is telling us, yeah, some of those people, they cared more about what people think of them than what they actually cared about the truth and about him. And that's a scary thing too. It's like, could I actually say, okay, I believe, but never go to the point where I confess to salvation, where I'll actually admit it? Because how much do you really believe something if you're afraid to even say you believe it? I mean, there are a lot of things that people may have a conviction, but they're like, I'm not saying anything to anybody because I don't want to get into it. Some people are that way with Jesus. I believe in him, but I'm not ready to come out of the closet and actually say I believe in him. But Jesus then gives a clear message one more time. This is his last message. He cried out and said, look, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And to he who sees me, sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I don't judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and doesn't receive my words has that which judges him, the words I've spoken. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his command is everlasting life. He says, look, here's the thing. You either believe what I'm saying and you have life, or you reject what I'm saying and you will live in darkness, and you will not have the life that my Father wants you to have. But, as he says, you either listen or you don't. You either believe or you deny. It comes down to you and a choice that you have to make. And that is his kind of concluding statement, really. And I love that he says, it's your choice. You have to make it. And I don't judge you for rejecting it. It's fine. You can reject it if you want. Jesus fascinates me as I read through the Gospels how there does not seem to be any desperation in him at all to talk people into coming to him. There is no big passionate emotional appeal. Jesus doesn't like tell some deathbed stories and a beautiful poem, and then they start playing Just As I Am for 20 minutes so people can come forward, and he's not like, please, please, come to me, please. He's like, no, I'm telling you the truth. Either accept it or reject it. I don't judge you if you refuse. If you don't want to follow me, okay, you're on your own. You know, you heard, that's all. But I don't judge you, because he says, like he said to Nicodemus in John 3, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. I came into the world to save the world. And that choice is up to you. And we've seen it throughout this passage. What you do with what you see, with what he says, is what will ultimately define you. He raises somebody from the dead. You can go, I'm convinced. Or you can go, wow, what a show. Or you can go, that's a threat. He needs to be stopped. We need to kill him. You can put him on a donkey and head him down the Mount of Olives toward the east gate of Jerusalem. And you can just go, save now. But then if he doesn't save now, if there's death that's involved, you can just go, oh, well, we tried. That's it. Or you can be like the Jewish leaders who are like hated him that much more because he was popular. You could be somebody who actually likes Jesus. Maybe you like his music, or you like the kind of people that you meet when you hang out with him. You want this opportunity. You think somehow this will profit me in some way. Boy, I bet I could get a lot of customers if I come and associate with Jesus and I get my cut, and I can act like, oh, it's the poor, it's the poor. It's a choice. Or you can submit to him. You can bow down and worship him like Mary, or you can stand there flippantly just saying, I don't like the way they did this, and I'm going to criticize that. There's never anyone who criticizes in the Bible somebody who is doing their best to try to worship God. If they criticize them, it shows something about the one who is critical. It doesn't show anything at all about the truth. But Jesus lays it out and he says, it's day and night. It's light and darkness. It's life or death. But what are you going to do? What are you going to choose? What will you decide? And that's a question that we all have to answer for ourselves. Are we those who say that we follow Jesus? We're afraid to say anything about it, because the truth is we worry more about what people think of us than actually the fact that we have in our power life and death that we can share with people. How much are we willing to lose? Are we willing to give everything like Mary to see him glorified? Are we willing to, you know, throw a few tips to the poor and feel like, yeah, we're good people. We're doing a good thing. You know, there may be people who are listening right now who have never actually been confronted with the fact that you need to choose. And I just really want to tell you, and I mean, this was Jesus' last message. If this was my last message, this would be what I would want you to hear. Now, I don't have any premonition. I don't expect to drop over dead after this service. I don't think this is my last message, but it would be kind of cool if it was, huh? I'd be like, whoa. But I would want you to know, it's about Jesus. He died for you. He loves you. You need to choose. You need to respond to him. I would want to warn you, you might be getting hard. You might be feeling like, in a way that, I don't know, I'm kind of losing interest in this. Be careful, because there comes a time when God's respect for your choice, he will just confirm it and say, all right then, have it your way. Today might be the last day when you have an opportunity. Not just because, oh, you could pull out of the driveway and get hit by a car and die. I mean, that could happen, but the odds are against that. But how do you know? But what today is the last time your heart is soft, that you're really considering, you're really thinking about this, and by next week you're going to hear it and go, means nothing to me. I decided no. And to find out that God actually said, okay, that's it. You can believe what you want. You can reject me if you choose. Oh, I beg you, more than he ever would. For your own sake, make your choice wisely and carefully. Like him, though, if you don't go for it, if you don't accept him, that's okay. We're still going to be here. We believe what we want. You're still welcome to come here. But be careful, because this is a life and death choice. It's what Jesus chose to say in the end. Before he would, now for the rest of his life, for the next few days, he's just talking to his disciples. He's not sharing the gospel with anybody anymore. If this is your last opportunity, I would suggest that you consider it carefully. And if you reject it, that's cool. I'm not judging you. Jesus isn't judging you. You're just on your own, that's all. Today is an opportunity. If there's something in your heart that's just saying, oh, this might be real, believe in him, trust him, confess him. As you take the communion, the bread and the cup, as you receive it in just a moment, because they'll pass it out, everybody will have them, we'll take them together. At that moment, just look at them and say, this is real. I want to acknowledge the truth. I want to be one who looks at Jesus and says, okay, your death is for me. Your resurrection for me as well. I want my life to be for you, no matter what it costs me, no matter what happens. Make that decision within your heart to him. Tell somebody about it at some point so that you're confessing him. Life starts over for you. I pray that during communion, you would just make that choice. If you're somebody whose your responses to him look more like these people who didn't believe in him than the ones who he was appealing to, you can change that today. Now, you can always go, I can always do it next Sunday, right? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know if there is a next Sunday. I also don't know where your heart's going to be then. If your heart is in a place right now where it is open, then it's open because he wants to come inside and change your life. And I pray that you will do that today.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Rolfe. As we go through the Gospel of John together, there may come a time when you'd like to hear a message again. You can do so rather easily at thebalancedword.com or call and request a CD copy at 949-362-7475. By the way, we're making this complete series in John available to you on a thumb drive for a donation of $10 or more. Go through this powerful gospel from start to finish with Pastor Dave. Again, call 949-362-7475 and we can help you with that. Please remember, it's your support that allows us to bring the teaching of God's Word to the radio every day. Thank you for standing with us. Again, we can be reached at 949-362-7475. Or you can make a donation and resource request online at thebalancedword.com. We'd like to invite you to visit us at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. Pastor Dave Rolfe teaches most weekends, and you can hear him teach the Word Sunday morning at 8, 9:45, and 11:30. He always enjoys meeting his listeners, so please say hi after the service. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. Finishing things up in prayer, here's Pastor Dave once again.
Lord, thank you for you taking the last opportunity to bring the truth to people, to let us know that life and death, darkness and light, truth and lies, that it all dovetails with our trusting you and believing in you and in the viability of your death, the reality of your resurrection. God, by your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of those who have not trusted in you completely. Maybe they thought they had, but they're realizing, I don't know. Help them to know that can change right now. For all of us, Lord, bring us back to the very basis of our faith, which is in your death for us, your gift of life. Lord, help us to get reconnected with that simple truth, to remember that our lives aren't our own, that they've been given to you already. We thank you so much for your incredible generosity, that you paid a price to tell us the truth, that you gave your life so that we could have life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll see what love looks like on the next Balanced Word when Pastor Dave Rolfe returns to the Gospel of John. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up.